This was an age when man literally ate man, for he was hardly out of the jungle and felt that all life was his deadly enemy. He believed that in order to survive, he must serve his god, the sun, and when night fell, it was the destruction of their god. When it rose again in the morning, its worshippers knew the sun had won over the powers of darkness and evil. Along with this, it was their simple belief that the people of the north with their pale skins were evil and, therefore, must be subjected. They conquered and ruled the world as the first of the races to go out, trying to subject its fellow men by the sword. Soon they began to lose their hold on the known world, for the Vardhan experimented with its own species and found a third root race known as the Lemurians. This new race, living in the land of Lemuria, was brown-skinned with a highly developed sense toward being civilized. The Lemurians had the greatest civilization known to the 52 world. It developed on the great continent of Mu in the midst of the Western Ocean, and spread around the world with many sub-empires. It was a tropical country of vast plains. The valleys and plains were covered with rich grazing grass and tilled fields. There were only low rolling hills and no mountains, for the peaks and ranges of great heights had not yet been forced up from the deep centers of the earth. The air was soft, the vegetation constantly bloomed, and life for the millions of the continent's people was gay and happy. 10 tribes made up the bulk of the citizens, each distinct but living under an emperor named Ramu. The empire was named the Empire of the Sun. Ramu was the representative of the supreme deity, although he was not worshipped. The deity was worshipped through symbols, and all believed in the immortality of soul, which eventually returned to the source from whence it came. The reverence of the Lemurians for their deity was so great they never spoke its name, and even in prayer and supplication addressed it always through a symbol. However, Ra, the sun, was used as the collective for all that the deity possessed as a supreme entity. The people of Mu were highly civilized and enlightened. They were gentle, peaceful, and lived together without savagery. As citizens of the great empire which stretched from rising sun to rising sun, an empire upon which the sun never set, they were under the protection of Mu, the motherland of the earth. The ruling race of Mu was exceedingly handsome, with brown or olive skin, large, soft, dark eyes and straight black hair. They had other races, the yellow, brown and black people, but these did not dominate. They sailed the seas and discovered new lands, inhabited and established colonies around the globe, built great temples, stone palaces and carved gigantic monuments. Within the continent of Mu were 7 major cities, where the religion, science and education centers existed. There also were many other large cities for trading and industry, for, as the center of the world as it came to be known, Mu was the land where all came for learning, trading, and commerce. The rest of the world formed her colonies. Into this world came Jutan, the third great Vardhan master, 53, who served the people of Mu and warned them of the coming destruction of the world. When this continent was at its zenith, the center of world civilization, it received a terrible shock. The rumblings from the bowels of the earth, followed by earthquakes and volcanic outbursts, shook her southern parts. Gigantic, cataclysmic waves from the ocean rolled over the land and the cities went down to destruction. The volcanoes belched out their fire, smoke and lava. The flat continent reared up and lava beds formed cones which became rocks. After this, the people of Mu gradually overcame their fright. Cities were rebuilt and trade and commerce were resumed. Generations passed after this visitation, and when the phenomenon had become history, Mu again became the victim of earthquakes. The whole continent heaved and rolled like ocean waves. The land trembled and shook like leaves on a tree in a storm. Temples and palaces came crashing to the ground and monuments and statues were overturned. The cities became heaps of ruins. The land quivered and shook, rose and fell. The fires of the earth underneath flamed forth and pierced the clouds. Thick black pools of smoke hung over the land and huge cataclysmic waves rolled through the cities and plains. The terrified people sought refuge in their temples and citadels only to be driven out by the fire and smoke. During the night the land was torn apart, and down it went into the dark waters of the ocean, claiming the lives of millions of people. The waves rolled over and met in the center of the land, seethed and boiled, destroying the Earth's first great civilization. A few islands were left where mountain peaks had been raised in the catastrophe. Those people who survived this terrible event became the race of the South Sea Islands. From across the world there came next into existence the Atlantean race, the fourth root race or the Red Race, who lived upon the continent of Atlantis in the great ocean between the eastern and western hemispheres. It grew steadily with large cities and fair lands, with tilled fields and deep valleys. The people worshipped the supreme deity they called Tat, who represented the four corners of the world, east, west, north and south. 54. Atlantis replaced Mu as the center of the world and became the greatest civilization of its time with learning, trade and commerce. It had over 100 million people living on its lands. But this world was rife with magic and its king priests, called the Tatsoks, were wizards of cruelty who ruled over all with an iron hand. Kastrog, the living Varden master, came into this world to teach these olive-skinned people that the supreme deity was not happy with their ways and dealings in black magic. He suffered the death of the sword for his troubles, but not before warning the king that his lands and people would soon die under the waters of the sea. One generation later, the catastrophe which had sunk the land of Mu brought death to all the fourth root race, leaving only a dark, unsmiling ocean to greet the sailors who dared to cross its surface. The fifth root race, the Aryans, developed the magnificent empire of Ar in Central Asia in the Gobi Desert. It was a mighty land stretching from the Pacific Ocean across Central Asia and Eastern Europe. The history of this empire is the history of the Aryan race. Its capital city was in the Gobi Desert, then a fertile land and large in the sense that it was the center of the world in its day, with a highly developed civilization. The living Varden master, Rama, first known to the civilized world of the Aryans, came out of the high valleys of Tibet to the capital city of Gaurikota and began preaching Vardhanka. But he was hounded out of the empire and went back into Tibet, where he founded the monastery of Katsuparai in the northern mountains. From there he went into India to teach the great science of Vardhanka to its teeming masses. The sixth root race is the Yellow Race, coming on the heels of the gradually fading Aryan race. It is the Mongoloid race of the East, which has its life center in the world of the North, where many do not penetrate. The Varden master who will come into this world of semi-darkness and light will be Regnet. This race is yet to fulfill its destiny on the Earth planet. It will meet destruction by fire, earthquakes and tidal waves. 55. The seventh root race will be the Golden Race, and they will be called the Zoha people. They will come from a far distant planet to colonize the world after its destruction by another great catastrophe in the 21st and 22nd centuries. The attempt to put colonies on this planet will fail and eventually, after several centuries, these peoples will withdraw. The Varden master who will be responsible for the spiritual welfare of this race will be Sepher. The Hare will then withdraw all souls from all planets and constellations into the heavenly worlds where they will sleep until IT has repaired the damage to the lower world planets. Those who have to return will then be sent back again to finish their spiritual development in this world. 56. Chapter 4. The Kingdom of the Hare. The great doctrine of liberation taught by the Mahatma is set forth here for all who have earned the right to know. If he has the ears to hear and the eyes to see, all knowledge and glory will be given unto him. Every soul is liberated from the material worlds upon initiation by the Mahatma, who has been granted this power by the Hare. As the representative of the supreme deity in all planes below the Anami Lok, he in turn releases and transfers the consciousness of spiritual freedom to all who desire to have freedom through the Varden. Release comes at the time of initiation, not at the transference of soul from the physical body at death in the material plane. Those who become the initiates of the inner circle of Varden live out their lives in the physical plane, and are transported at the time of death into the higher worlds without standing in the court of Yama, the king of the dead, where all uninitiated souls must go to receive judgment for their earthly actions. The uninitiated are those who have not received liberation through initiation from the Mahatma. Baptism will not fulfill the necessity of liberation. Neither will the joining of any cult, religion or faith. Only the living Varden Master has the power to initiate souls and take them to the regions of light. The initiated soul is transported from the Temple of Flesh at the time of death by the Magatma, to confront the clear light of the Atmalok. It has left behind the body and will never return to embodiment on this earthly planet. It is now free and will take up its assignments in the kingdom of the Hari for eternity. Faith is the first step on the secret pathway to heaven. Unless the Keela believes in the Magatma, has faith in the Varden, and trusts the Hari completely, he has spent his time worthlessly. 57. The faith that one has in the Magatma must be that of complete understanding and surrender. Whatever the Magatma sees, knows and understands about the Varden Keela is his own secret. He never tells but expects the Keela to give a degree of obedience and observance to his desires, all of which are for the benefit of the Keela. He never expects anything less than self-surrender of the Keela to the divine will that is working through him as the inner master. Those who cease to believe in the Magatma must pay the price. The payment is in accord with their degree of capability. Since the inner master is only the vehicle for the Hari, all persons who are following the path of Varden must look to him as the representative of the Varden power on earth. He is not the master of anyone who is not following the path of Varden Ka. He is the avatar, the master, the guide and vehicle of the divine being for anyone who is immersed in the spiritual works of Varden. The Magatma takes over the spiritual life of whomever approaches him to become a Keela. He guides him through his worldly life, and helps him to resolve all his karma here before being translated into the other worlds. Upon entering these worlds permanently, the Keela finds the master still guiding him spiritually. At no time does the Magatma ever leave one who has become his charge, regardless of whether or not the Keela tries to break his ties. The tie is never broken inwardly, perhaps outwardly, but never on the inner planes. The Varden Master establishes miraculous power in the Keela when they meet for the Keela's last incarnation in this earth world. Thus, when the Keela is ready, when he has reached that stage of spiritual development, a meeting with the living Varden Master is inevitable. When any man or woman has earned the right to stand before the Magatma, there is no power in the universe that can keep him away from the Sadguru. The two must meet, for the spiritual law commands it. But in every case it is good karma that brings the individual to the Magatma. The proof is in itself, for when the Keela is ready the Magatma will find him. The Magatma is prepared to take the Keela into the heavenly worlds of the Hari. These worlds are the Atmalok, 58, Alaklok, Alalok, Hukikatlok, Agamlok and the Enemilok. It is above the Enemilok where dwells the Lord of Lords. This is also the true home of the Atma, that particle of God which has been sent down into the lower worlds to receive purification. These are the pure worlds of the Hari. It is the universe of the Varden, where there is neither time, space, matter nor motion. It is where all karma and reincarnation have ended, and the Atma is a part of the whole, but individual in itself. It is here that the Atma receives, by choice, its mission in the lower worlds to become a co-worker with God. The bodies of man within the lower worlds assume the embodiment of sex, either male or female. Thereby, reproduction in the lower worlds, especially in the material universes, is accomplished through sex. But within the heavenly world of the Enemilok, souls are reproduced by the Lord of Lords reacting upon itself. Therefore, every soul is a particle of a divine source which is known as the Supreme Being. Each is a spark of the divine self. The Atma, soul, is a neuter atom of the divine source of life. It is neither male nor female, masculine nor feminine, man nor woman. It is both within the worlds of God. It does not assume a body until reaching the worlds below the Atma plane, the fifth plane. Thereupon it takes a body of either sex in the beginning, usually that of the male during its first incarnation. Following this, it will take the body of the female, thereafter. During its millions of incarnations in the physical world, soul will alternate between male and female bodies, each time learning some lessons while gathering karma and working off karma. The good karma will be kept while the negative karma will be given up as the burden of learning the lessons of life. The final goal of good karma is to bring the Keela to the living Varden Master and to learn the true path to the Hari. This is the very highest reward of good karma, assuring the Kila of his liberation from the wheel of the 84. The true works of Vadankar takes the Kila into the heavenly world to become a co-worker with God. There is nothing higher than this. When the Kila asks what his mission is in life, he should be told that becoming a co-worker, 59, with God is the only purpose of soul's existence. He begins his true spiritual life in the Atma plane, which is known to all as the soul world. The classical name for this plane is the Sat Nam, who also is the ruler of this world. This is the first realm of Ahura, the pure being, where soul finds self-realization. It is the dividing plane between the worlds of pure spirit and those of the negative worlds. The sound here is the single note of a flute. The chant one gives is the name of a divine being, Ahura. The next plane is the Alaklok, known as the invisible plane. Its classical name is the same, and the chanting here is Shanti. In the Hindu language it means peace. This is the second world of Ahura. It is ruled by the great being Alakprasha, who at times seems harsh and without consideration, although the chanting in this world does not fit the nature of its ruler. The sound of the Vardhan here is the wind, sometimes roaring and sometimes very gently sighing, like a breeze in the treetops. The Alalok is the third pure spiritual plane above the Atma region. It is the true shining world, often known as the Sakkhand. The chanting here is a sort of hum, like that done with the lips closed tightly and humming a worldly tune. The description here is of endless worlds, for it is so vast, so far beyond any conception of man's intelligence. The ruler of this plane is the Alaprasha, a mighty being whose very presence fills every soul with awe as he passes through this world. The Hukikatlok is the fourth world which soul must travel through on its way to the Hare, the center of all universes. This is the highest state that soul usually reaches. It is the plane of God realization, where soul learns the God knowledge. The sound is like the music of a thousand violins. The chanting is the word Alak. The great being here is the Hukiprasha, the lord of the fourth world of pure spirit. The Agamlok is the fifth plane, the inaccessible plane. Few souls go past the Hukikatlok into this world. It is a world of immense space, so much greater than any which the mind could ever conceive. The sound here is delicate music, something that cannot be described. It is like the music of woodwinds, faint, sweet and beautiful. A melody that gives, 60, soul great ecstasy. The word here is Huka, and it is pronounced Huka. The lord of this world is the Agamprasha, and he is the guardian of the Anami Lok, the nameless plane. The Anami Lok is the world of the supreme being, Dhanare. This is the lord of lords, the highest of all beings, and its home is the ocean of love and mercy. It does not live in a palace nor dwell on a throne, as many believe. Its home is the mighty center of the universes, the very heart and core of all life and existence. It dwells in the center of this mammoth ocean, where all is like a whirlpool, sending out its word to the worlds upon worlds. The word, the voice of the Hare, goes forth like a wave from the center of a pond and sings its way through all the plains in many different songs and melodies. Each is the living word, creating and giving life to everything in each world. By its very life, this Vardhan, the essence of the Hare, the spirit of all things, life exists. When it reaches the end of the worlds, it returns like the wave, gathering up all souls that are ready to do God's work. They return to the true home and become co-workers with God, having completed their mission in life. The true gospel of Vardhan is to give every Kila truth. This truth is to lift him into the worlds of light and sound, the kingdom of the Hare. Thereby the spiritual law of God acts upon the fact that it is possible for every soul to unfold spiritually in a greater or lesser degree in one direction or another. He may seek to order his life and his relations with the Hare on the basis of the knowledge that he must become a co-worker with a divine being. The Kila must practice pratyahara, the complete withdrawal of consciousness from the environment around himself. This is true on every plane of the universe below the Atma world. The Kila cannot fail to do otherwise, or he will delay his ascendance into the heavenly kingdom of God. He shall delay his true mission, which is to serve out his spiritual responsibilities in a world of heavenly good. Heaven is the ultimate state. It is where soul goes to meet its maker and decide upon its final mission in eternity. Soul alone must make the choice of what it shall do for its missionary assignment. This is the freedom of choice which the 61 Hare gives to all souls. No other form of life has this privilege. Soul sometimes enters this universe as a thing of lower embodiment. Generally, it enters into the minerals of the earth, where it will dwell for an age. In succession it becomes the flower, the fish, a denizen of the seas and waters of the lands, a serpent, a creature of the air, the treetop things, a four-legged animal, and after many such incarnations it enters into the body of man. Man lives only with himself. He is the ablest of all the creatures of God, for the use of the divine power of Vardhan is at his fingertips. He learns to use this and to liberate himself from the Kal power which rules the lower universes. But it is only with the spiritual assistance of the Margatma that he is able to do this. The mind, of itself, is of little use to him except to live within the physical plane. The mind is only an instrument for the Atma to use within this world of matter. It uses the mind and the physical and mental facilities like one uses a machine. Man is only an animal without the Atma. He is the physical body known to all in the spiritual works of Vardhan as the Isosharia. Unless the Kila denies the existence of matter, this cannot be disputed. It gets hurt, sick, and dies to return to the soil from which it originally came. Within the physical body is that starry and subtle body, the Sukshamsharia, or Nurisarup, the light body of the astral world. It sparkles with millions of particles like stars shining in the worldly heavens. It is through this body that the mind and soul can communicate with the physical body and its world, but it will take shape according to the character of the individual. Therefore, the Kila knows what his astral body is according to his natal Vardhan vidyoscope. When the physical body dies, this Nurisarup stays as the instrument of expression on the astral plane. Within the astral body is another body, more subtle and much lighter, which is called the Karan Sharia. This is the causal body, which is quite distinct from the astral. It is named this because it is the real cause, containing the seeds of all that is ever to take place in the individual's life. This is the body that the living Vardhan master reads for the past, present and future of the individual. 62. The other body enclosed within the causal body is the Manas, or mental Sharia. It is much more refined than the other two bodies. It would appear to the eye as a blue globe of light and has a humming sound when in the presence of another. Its function is to act as a transformer for thought between the mind and the astral body. It is creative to an extent, but only because it receives impressions from the Buddhi Sharia, which is known as the etheric or subconscious mind. The Buddhi Sharia lies between the mental body and soul. It is regarded as the part of the mind-body which acts as a sheath between mind and soul. It is very sensitive to impressions from soul, and its function is to receive and transmit impressions between mind and soul on the one side, and between soul and mind on the other. A perfect record of every experience the individual has ever had in any incarnation within the countless ages of its existence throughout any plane, is stored here. These can be read by the living Vardhan master by use of the Vardhan Vidya. The Atmasarup is the soul body. It is the Atma Sharia which dwells on the fifth plane, the dividing line between the material worlds and the true spiritual regions. It is a broad, universal world that takes in the whole of all things, including the lower and the higher universes. It is an extremely sensitive body and is, in its natural state, a perfect vessel of the divine being. Only by its compulsive lives in the bodies of the lower worlds does it appear to become imperfect. It becomes covered with a sheath, making it seem imperfect, but this is only the illusion of the Kal forces. Spiritual liberation comes when one finds himself established in the Atmasarup. The recognition of enlightenment within the state of soul consciousness brings light and sound at this particular plane, which is a blazing illumination similar to the light of 10,000 suns. The roaring is more thunderous than that of 10,000 waterfalls. It is here that soul enters into self-realization. It finds itself in the state of self-awareness. The universal mission of being a co-worker with the Hare is rapidly realized in soul's state of self-knowledge. It knows and now is ready to advance into the heavenly worlds of true spirit. It has no other purpose in life and all attachments to the life in. 63. The lower worlds are lost. The values of materialistic things leave the senses of the mind and body, for now soul is in control of all life around itself. All souls must, in the beginning of their creation, descend into the bowels of Triapad. This is where the Hare declared they must dwell until each becomes once more fitted to serve it and not the pleasures of desire. The highest form of belief is faith belief in the Hare. The higher always encompasses the perfection of the lower. To act as if we are. This is the secret of believing, of having faith in the Hare. Believing is not believing, so says the Lord of Lords to all souls who descend into the Ashkan of the universes. I say unto you, believe in my word. For the day shall come when you shall doubt all things. The earth shall be rocked in its last convulsion, and when ye have spent life after life seeking and finding nothing, then ye shall offer up everything to me, begging for the life which is already yours for the faith in me. And the Lord of Lords spoke again, to him who will love me and will observe my commandments will I manifest myself, and he shall be one with me and I with him. Those who love the Hare shall be taken unto its heart and given the kingdom of heaven. But those who do not love the Hare and wish to go their way shall not have the kingdom of heaven nor any of its parts. This must be written on the heart of every soul, for all things and all life are concerned with the Lord of Lords. If the chooser, or soul, chooses to forget and gives its devotion to Kalmranjan, that chooser shall become a slave and have only the transitory objects of the lower kingdom, ruled over by the Kal alone. Soul journeys through the worlds of the Kal. Whenever it finds that it is time to leave the physical vehicle in which it has abided for its time in this lower world, then a preparation is made to enter into the astral body, the first of the inner bodies. This astral body becomes truly awakened with the advent of soul, for the physical and all states of consciousness are left in the outer body. It dwells in this first inner vehicle for a relative period of time, then either proceeds into the causal, 64, body, or returns to another physical embodiment. This is known as reincarnation. Soul must leave the physical body at the death of this temple of clay, and journey into the next world. This passing is called the Kangarasamba. It is known as the supra-spiritual experience of soul. Thus, it leads to a knowledge of the greater worlds beyond the physical senses. This journey, the Kangarasamba, takes place between the Triapad or the physical worlds, and the astral. This is the Buddha of Tibetan Buddhism, the purgatory of the Christians. It is the duty of the Margatma to assist the Atma when it passes from the physical body and enters into the Kangarasamba period of its journey. After this death of a physical vehicle, the Atma is taken by the living Vardhan Master to whatever subtle region of the inner worlds he has earned. No soul that is an initiate of Vardhan will have to account for its deeds and actions within the lower realm of the Kal world. It is through with all earthly karma and must now begin to work out the karma of its actions on the astral plane. The physical world is a world of turmoil and strife. Never shall there be any peace in it. This is the way of the Hare. It is so designed that the Pinda worlds shall have nothing but strife, for the good of each soul that must dwell therein. For these worlds are the testing ground of soul, the place it must spend its long periods of existence, creating perfection and spiritual maturity. Should the soul not be an initiate of the living Vardhan Master, it must stand before Dharmaraya, the judge of the Kangarasamba, and receive its just award. There are no complaints nor favors, and justice is rendered to all. Each soul knows it is being judged and must consent to the judgment. It is then taken to the region or condition where it has earned its residence, be it good or bad. It remains there for a fixed time according to the judgment rendered. After its time has expired, it is then returned to this world, or some other world, to once more begin a new life in the physical body. It takes up where it left off, somewhere in one of its past lives, and starts once again, depending upon its karma. The kingdom of the Hare is imperishable. Thus, when soul enters into this region of light, it either remains or is. 65, given a mission somewhere in the lower kingdom. But it knows immortality and the joy of serving with the Hare to keep the vast universes running smoothly. Soul derives benefit from all that the Hare gives it through the grace of the Lord of Lords. It is so far removed from its true home that without the spiritual benefits of the perfect Sadhguru, the Margatma, it cannot find its way back.